Hello to you. My name is Katie Bennett, and I am here all by myself on this podcast episode this Sunday evening at the time of recording. The reason for that is because my husband Mitch, who normally co-hosts with me, and I had an episode all ready to go for this Tuesday. We typically launch new episode on Tuesdays every other week, and I just didn't feel like it was time for that one yet. I feel like we need to keep talking about Christmas. And part of that is because Christmas is something that is just so incredibly important and impactful in our lives. And so we feel like God has given us a passion to keep talking about it. Of course, Mitch isn't here tonight. He's off having fun without me. He's working out of town for a few days right now. So I'm holding down the fort all by myself. So of course I should plan, record, edit a podcast. Of course I should do that while I'm in charge of our three children and our household and completely out of our routine for 3 days. That seems like the right thing to do. So that's exactly what I'm doing. And I am so glad that you are here with us. I want to thank those of you who have stopped long enough to leave a review for us on iTunes. That is such a blessing because it's encouraging if it's a good review, which is what we have so far. And it also helps people find us. When iTunes sees that we are being reviewed positively, they're more likely to show our podcast to new potential listeners. So it really does help out a lot. Thank you very much. And also, I wanted to say right up front that I am going to be talking about a lot of different resources and ideas pertaining to keeping Christmas Christ-centered. That is my passion, and I'm so excited to share some of my thoughts with you during this episode. There will be a lot of things I mentioned that will be linked to in the show notes. So I don't necessarily want to stop every single time and say, you can find a link to this in the show notes, but just know that if you hear something that you would like to investigate further, that is going to be a great resource for you. Have you ever noticed that Christmas kind of feels like two different holidays? Like, we have all the Jesus stuff and the nativity, that whole story, and people say, well, that's the reason for Christmas. But there's this whole complete other storyline that's unfolding, which is about Santa Claus and his reindeer and the North Pole and how he's watching you, and children need to be good and put out their stockings to milk and cookies. And there's really no carryover between the two. So you've got two completely different stories unfolding. And for many of us, we're telling our children that both of them are true, and we're never really helping them sort all of this out. Do you know why Christmas feels like it is two different holidays? I didn't until I read a children's book that is called Why Do We Call It Christmas by Phil Vischer, the maker of VeggieTales. And it's a book that's written for children, so I bought it for my children, and it really just clarifies the whole holiday and why it's so confusing. The reality is that originally, December 25th was a special mass traditionally in the Catholic Church that was celebrating of Christ's birth. So it became to be called Christ's Mass. You can see where we get our word Christmas. That was on December 25th. Well, along the way, there was a man named St. Nicholas who was a Christ follower. He loved the Lord, and he had been left with a very large inheritance, and he had it in his heart to bless others. But he did it in a secret way. So he would actually go at night and throw bags of money through open windows of people that were in need. Sometimes the bags landed in people's stockings that they had hung out overnight. And the news of what he was doing spread all over Europe. The church decided to give him a special day, St. Nicholas Day, which was on December the 6th. And they celebrated his generosity and what he was doing as a Christian. And the children really enjoyed that holiday. They began putting their shoes out. They were being filled with surprise goodies, and all these traditions were built up around St. Nicholas Day. About 400 years ago, the church stopped celebrating holidays, in large part, that were dedicated to saints. So St. Nicholas Day was now not a holiday, but because the traditions were so popular, they were then moved to December 25th. Naturally, people started just naturally celebrating their St. Nicholas traditions on Christ's Mass Day. And that is why we have Christmas. I love that this book allows my children to understand something I didn't know until I was almost 30 about why things are the way they are. I do recommend the book. And it doesn't directly say Santa's not real, but I think that is kind of inferred. So just be warned about that. My husband and I thought very, very hard about how we were going to celebrate Christmas with our children. It was a tough decision because we didn't want to deprive them of something fun and magical, which would be believing that the whole Santa story is real. But we also really had a lot of conviction. I'll say, I don't want to speak for Mitch. This was probably mostly me. He's very laid back about things. But I had a lot of conviction about wanting to be honest with my children so that they could believe what I said. So we ended up, we'd never pretended that Santa was real for our children. They never received gifts from him or anything like that. And for us, that was a really scary step to take, and I am not saying at all that it's wrong if you do Santa with your children. I know so many dear people that I look up to and admire who do, but it was a risk for us that we took, and it has paid tremendous dividends because it has really helped us focus our entire holiday season on Christ instead of on Santa. Now, is Santa evil? No, it's St. Nicholas. It is a very worthy and redeeming underlying storyline. It can get very lost in the commercialism, but there is something redeeming there that we can be investing in our children. And I also know a former pastor who talked with me about how he handled Santa with his children. They did it with them. But whenever his children started asking questions, he would never directly answer them. He would always turn the questions back. Well, Dad, is Santa real? So he would say to his son, what do you think? And kind of allow him to wrestle with things, but not elevating Santa to the level of God. These two people know all. They can do miraculous things and they're real. Well, that can be a little bit tricky for some children when they find out that, oh, actually, one of these was a complete farce. So it's just something to be really aware of and to kind of make a really prayerful decision and to know that we are not owned by our culture, but we also don't have a ton of heavy burdens and rules on our shoulders as Christ followers. There's freedom to enjoy culture with our children and to celebrate culture. But we don't have to do that mindlessly either. We can do it very prayerfully and thoughtfully. And if we're going to look at a holiday from an eternal perspective, we're going to see that the two options, Jesus and Santa, are not equal because one of them is eternal and real and awe-inspiring beyond what we could ever contain. I think a feeling that I had at one point was Jesus maybe just isn't enough. Like, the manger story is pretty cool, but it's not nearly as exciting as this man who's going to come and bring you presents overnight for a child. And I kind of maybe on some level, and this is a confession that I'm not proud of, but part of me felt like that's just not enough. They're going to really miss out if we don't give them Santa, because that's what's actually cool about Christmas. However, as we really took steps of obedience into how we were feeling convicted, which is important, it's important to follow your personal convictions, we have seen God unleash this unexpected excitement about the God child, about Emmanuel, and about just the wonder of the nativity story. And it's really fun watching our 6.5-year-old. She's our oldest child, so she's kind of our guinea pig in many ways, as you parents know. She connects so well with the Christmas story. She has been telling us for years her favorite Bible story is the story of Jesus' birth. She has a fascination with nativity sets and the nativity story. Anything like we went into a gingerbread competition where you could vote for your favorite gingerbread house yesterday, actually. It was really neat. It was actually sponsored by a church, and we loved seeing all the gingerbread houses, but one of them was a nativity, a gingerbread nativity, and just seeing like her instant attraction to that, her instant just eyes filling with fondness and excitement. Then just tonight, we were at a nativity-themed event at our church for children where they got to build a little keepsake nativity set and see a play that was being acted out intermittently. When we walked outside, there was a lighted nativity, not life-size, but pretty big from real life. And my daughter just sat down in the straw among all the figures and just stared at baby Jesus. She loved it so much. I kept calling her name and calling her name, and I couldn't draw her away. So I finally went and took a picture of her, which I will include because it is just such a beautiful photo for me to see really how special this time of year is for her, even that Jesus was enough, and in fact, more than enough, and that this has become a time of worship and celebration. Now, I don't want to discourage you if you are doing Santa. That's really not my mission, but I want to encourage you that Santa can become less and Christ can become more. And that is really what I want to just resource you with, different ideas for what it might look like, practically speaking, to turn not only your heart, but the hearts of your children and your family more to Christ and to that storyline, which is the eternal story that matters so much more than we could ever contain. I want to dive into some really practical, tangible ideas. Now, I'm sure that you have some cool things that you are already doing in your family that I haven't thought of. So if that is true, please hop over to the show notes on the blog, embracingasimplerlife.com/podcast, and find this episode. And please tell us in the comments section. I would love to hear more ideas and for other people to be able to see those as well, because it is very inspiring to hear what works for other people. One fun way that we have found to focus more on Christ is we look for the nativity sets that are out on people's lawns and in their Christmas home decorations, because one of the really fun things about this time of year is all the lights that people put up. Well, lights have a lot of symbolism for God himself, and Jesus was the light of the world. So we can begin by investing that into our children. And then when we make it a point to always point out and be excited about the nativity decorations instead of the snowmen or whatever else, I mean, they're fun too, but this is something I have done. And in fact, we have competition sometimes, like who can find the most nativities. We do that every year and just drive around searching for those and celebrating them as a family. It really, even for myself, it makes me excited for Jesus and very aware of the people that are quite a lot, at least in my part of Missouri, which is kind of in the Bible Belt. So that might not be true everywhere, but there are a lot of people who are celebrating Christ this time of year, and to notice that and celebrate alongside them is fun. So that's just a little twist on Christmas lights. We really enjoy watching nativity reenactions. For example, there's a movie called The Nativity Story that I watch every year, and it moves me so much every year because it really helps me think about how Mary would have felt, or think about what it would have really been like, the weight of the moment of his birth, the weight of the moment of what was going on when the shepherds got to hear the news and got to worship, the weight of the worship that was happening. It really comes across to me in these reenactments. And they have actually deepened my love for Christmas so much. So I highly recommend The Nativity Story. The Star is in theaters right now. It's a very high production quality children's movie based on the Nativity. It's fictionalized. It's the animals are the main characters. It's kind of like the quote untold story of what the animals were doing, but in many ways it really honors the true story, and my kids loved it, and my husband and I enjoyed it too. And I talk with them, you know, do you think this is true or not true? And I help them process it verbally out loud, what they already knew and understood, but it was still a lot of fun. And then we also went to a live production, a very wonderful production that my children's grandparents took us all to, and we just got to really feel like we were a part of the story as it was unfolding, with all the actors and live animals in this room and angels flying in overhead. I cried so many times, and I was embarrassed. I was trying to hide my tears, but it was just so moving and touching to see and experience in that way what that story was like. And as I was like really hiding my tears, I looked over and saw this man two seats away from me who was just undone, just burying his head in his hands, weeping. And it was just so validating. Like, yes, this is that big of a deal. It matters that much because it's true. It's true. And not that we know all the details, but the gist of the story, and if you know the Bible account, you can kind of piece that together, what's creative interpretation and what's just really how it happened, is so powerful that something this awe-inspiring is true and real, and it matters for us today and for eternity. I also love doing Advent activities together as a family. A few years ago, I did one called Truth in Tinsel, and you make ornaments every day. It's kind of like a craft guide with a devotional. You make ornaments every day that tell the story of the birth of Jesus, and my kids loved it so much. We didn't get to all the ornaments. They would love to do it every single year, but I'm just not a crafty person, so that's a little bit stretching for me. So I'm trying something new this year, but if you're crafty or you feel like you could do that for your children, it was so powerful. I know several other people who have done it as well with the exact same results. So this year, I'm doing one called a book advent calendar. I wrote an extensive post about this on my blog, the complete guide, in fact, as I titled it. And what you do is you gather Christmas books and you wrap them, put them under the tree, and then every night for however many nights, you unwrap a book and read it together. It's so wonderful because it promotes relationship. It promotes that slowing down and spending time together and investing and forging strong bonds through doing it. And that's a lot of time together, which is harkens back to what we talked about in our last episode. Give relationally. Relationships are king. And even if we think we're craving stuff and more material things, that's actually not reality. What our souls crave is connection to each other and to our Heavenly Father. That's what we were really made for. So that's what the book Advent Calendar is doing. We just started it tonight, unwrapped our first book. You're not too late to join in because it doesn't have to start on any certain day. That is something to think about. And I know there are some really cool Jesse Tree books that you can get. And a Jesse Tree is kind of an Advent concept where you're hanging ornaments that represent the Christmas story, which is really neat. Maybe you're not making them all like you do with the Truth and Tinsel program. Links to all that in the show notes, of course. And then I want to really encourage you to go to church-sponsored activities. You have so many choices. You can go sit on Santa's lap. You can go drive through the light park, which, great, do those things. But don't forget the journey to Bethlehem that's going on or the live nativity that's going on at a church. You can make an intentional choice about what you're going to celebrate and what you're going to immerse yourself in the most. I just think that's part of how we have grown our wonder and love for this story of God becoming a man and how it all unfolded. I'm going to also say, read the Bible together as a family. Read the Christmas story. That might be a very sweet Christmas Eve or Christmas Day tradition in your family. It was in mine always growing up and continues to be today. If it's not, do it. And don't be afraid to start reading it earlier in the month and really thinking and marinating on it. If not with your family, just with yourself on your own. Don't be Martha running around and spinning your wheels like a crazy person the whole holiday season and fail to see what Mary saw, that only one thing is truly needed, and that is to sit at the feet of Jesus, to soak it in, and that's what will truly last and endure. I also think that reeling in the gift giving helps a lot with turning the holiday back towards Christ, because we want to make it about us naturally, and our children are the exact same way. We feel like ourselves should take center stage and we should get stuff, and we feel expectation and we feel entitlement, and it just gets really ugly really fast if we're not careful. If you want to hear more of our thoughts on redeeming Christmas gift giving, be sure you check out our last episode, episode number 3, if you haven't had a chance to do that yet. Another suggestion that I want to make is listen to Christmas music that is themed to worship. Yes, we can certainly enjoy Jingle Bells and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Those songs are fun and they're cultural and they can be celebrated for what they are. However, if we really make it a point to worship through Christmas music about the birth of Christ, it's not only going to change and shape our hearts, it's going to influence and shape our children's hearts and their view of the holiday season. So something I love to do is to put on that type of music throughout the day and just to let my children see me worshiping the Lord and really enjoying it and emphasizing that those are my favorite songs, because they really are. That's not a hard thing for me to say whatsoever. That music touches me deeply and moves me and is very special to me. Through kind of just guiding our hearts and our minds intentionally to think about the things of God at this time of year can make it really powerful and special. We can also decorate our home with Christ-centered ornaments and decorations. We have some ornaments that say Bible verses on them. We have a nativity set, which unfortunately I pulled out this year, and the king's head was detached, and the donkey was missing an ear, and the baby Jesus a hand. So moving was really hard on our nativity set, and also I think my children might have played with it. But we are going to glue it back together. We already have it set up. It doesn't have to be perfect. We still like it. And then we have a children's nativity by Fisher Price, I believe, and I can link to that, but that is something we only get out at this time of year so that it remains special and motivating and they want to play with it, but it really allows children to interact with the nativity story, and I absolutely love that. It's just so many things that we get out at this time of year have nothing to do with Santa Claus and everything to do with Jesus. We do have a little of both in our home because, again, culture, and we can celebrate that, and we do. But those Jesus-centered decorations seem to really connect with my children's hearts and set a certain tone for our home that is really special to and important to achieving this goal of having a Christ-centered Christmas. And I also think that making gifts for one another and being sure to help our children get excited about giving, to help them plan and give gifts to their special people in their lives and also to those in need, seems to do really good things for honestly honoring the heart of who Santa was originally and who he's based on, Saint Nicholas. He was giving to those in need. So we get to allow our children to do that. And one way that we do that every single year is through Operation Christmas Child. It is an organization that is called Samaritan's Purse, and they allow you to pack a shoebox full of toys and gifts for a child in need. And you can include a letter and a picture of your family. And it's something that we invest money in and we plan for. And our children get to pick out gifts for a child that's their own gender and age range. You get to specify all that ahead of time. So that has been unbelievably powerful to help our kids grasp on to the joy of giving. And I know many towns do angel trees, and there's all kinds of ways to get involved locally around the holiday season, but find a way to do it for yourself and find a way to do it for your children as well, because that will bring them back to the true meaning of Christmas. Okay, I know that I've thrown a bunch of ideas at you. I feel like I'm talking pretty fast, but I want to leave you with this. If you think that Jesus isn't enough, and if somewhere in your heart you feel that his birth just isn't enough to fill up a holiday or enough to delight your children, then I'm actually excited for you, because I know that you haven't discovered yet the awe and mystery of Christ's birth, of God, an eternal God, becoming a baby for us. You have deep, untapped wells of worship and rich, unquarried mines of treasure that are available to you right now. It's December, and I cannot wait for you to start digging in. I would encourage you to start in the Gospel of Matthew. Right at the beginning, you'll get an account of the birth of Christ, and then you'll have another one in the Gospel of Luke, right at the beginning. Check those out. Just go straight to God's Word. It is the source and the best place to start and to get all your facts sorted out. Spend time meditating on it and praying, and ask God to turn your heart toward him this holiday season. Your task is to dig deeper than ever before through prayer, worship, and reading, because you can't reinvest something in your children that you just don't have. But you know what? The thing is, it's there for you. It's not a matter of the gospel falling short. It hasn't. It is a matter of taking the time and prayer to uncover that truth. I also want to let you know that I have put together a short guide. It is an email series of 3 emails to help you have a simpler and more Christ-centered Christmas. Now, you might feel like I probably just covered absolutely everything that I could possibly want to say, but that's actually not true at all. I have a lot more to say, and I'm really excited about it, especially day 2. I want to get that out to as many people as I possibly can, because it's definitely thematically similar to what you've heard here, but just some really important things that I want to continue investing into you. And day 3 is completely new stuff. Day 1 is similar to last podcast. I will tell you that. So you can, I'll put a link to that in the show notes because there's not a pretty URL for that. So you just need to go find the link in the show notes, click it and sign up. By signing up to get that 3 email series, which will come 3 days in a row and help you cut free of the stress and the chaos and all the kind of consumerism that might be binding you or the expectations of others, whatever it is that makes your Christmas not simple and not as Christ-centered as you want. Those are the things that I'm going to just encourage you with and inspire you with in this email series. If you sign up for that, you will be put onto the Embracing a Simpler Life email list, which is a very good place for you to be because I send out emails about every week that have my thoughts. There's a lot of content in those emails. It's not just all links to other things, but I do let you know if there's a new blog post up and what it's about as kind of a blurb within an email so that you will be aware of that and kind of understand maybe even a little bit of backstory for where I'm coming from with the next podcast episode. It's just a really great place for you to be. It's the best way that I can connect with you and get in touch with you if I need to tell you something or if God's really laying something on my heart for you. Be sure to go sign up for the 3-part guide, my mini guide to a simpler and more Christ-centered Christmas. And I wish you such a happy December. Go just implement one thing that you've heard in this podcast and let me know how it goes. Leave a comment on the show notes on the blog or email me directly, katie@embracingasimplerlife.com. I would absolutely be so honored to hear from you. Until next time.